participants in the Christmas story, Mary and Joseph, they were real people. They were real, had real emotions. They were probably scared at different times. They were excited. There was just a lot of different emotions that were going through their heads a lot of times, I'm sure. And these two songs, just a very feeble attempt to try to capture what some of those emotions that Mary and Joseph may have been feeling. I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness. Pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven. Do you wonder, as you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Help me be, help me. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness. Pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness. Pour over me your holiness, for you are holy.
could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? Can I raise a king? He looks so small, his hands and feet so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, oh, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours.
In our passage today, we find a subject that's not often talked about. And if it doesn't make you nervous, then you're probably not human. And that's the topic of holiness, holiness, personal holiness that we're called to. But before we can talk about our calling to holiness, we need to understand, what is holiness? What does it mean? Anybody have an idea, a thought? What is holiness? No thoughts. So that's good. I'll give you some thoughts since our time is limited. I'm going to go very quickly, so stick with me if you would. I can tell you first what it's not. There are many that have been sold a bill of goods. That holiness is somehow this list of man-made rules that if you follow these, that somehow you will be spiritual, you'll be holy. Really what that is legalism. It's really something that strangles us and doesn't give us life. Because true holiness is not about your hair. Shocking, yeah? But some places that would be shocking. It's not about the clothes you wear. It's not about your tattoos even. Or your piercings. Holiness is not about all these things that someone might feel like you ought to do. No, it's really different than that. Actually, we look at the word, it means to separate, to set aside, to dedicate, to consecrate something unto the Lord. The word hagios, separation. How important is it? Oswald Chambers says that holiness, not happiness, is the chief end of man. Pretty important. You may think then, how do we get there? What does that look like? Well, Chuck Swindoll says that we are not exhorted and should not be pushed toward isolation, but insulation. This world we live in is something that desires to squeeze us into a mold. That if you're going to be cool, or you're going to be accepted, or you're going to be thought of as relevant, you need to be this, that, or the other thing. Those are the things we have to push off if we're going to commit ourselves to being dedicated to God. Holiness. Holiness is about your faith. It's about your response to the Holy Spirit working in your life. I like what Romans chapter 14, verse 22 and 23 says. It says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he does." Verse 23 goes, "And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And sin runs counter to us than holiness. But we need to understand that holiness is not just the absence of sin. It's the presence of God. So be careful that we don't sell holiness short and just having legalism take its place. Well, I think Peter knew that. And I think that's why he writes the way he does. Look what if you turn in 1 Peter, we're in verse 13. He says, "Wherefore," the first word, "wherefore." He said, based on everything previous to this, I want to build a case now. I have a foundation doctrinally for you. Now I want to talk to you practically. We really find that all the way through the New Testament. We find there's almost half the chapters are very theological foundations, while the other half of the chapters in the New Testament are application. Well, he's going to draw a very personal application right now for each one of us. Wherefore? We've seen something similar to this, or if you've read Romans before, you've seen it in chapter 12. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren." What is he talking about, therefore? Therefore from what? Well, chapter 11, which talks about what? Well, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Chapter 11 talks about the mercies of God. Chapter 12 then calls us to commitment, to being a living sacrifice to God. Here we find the same type of turn, the same kind of concept. In fact, we'll find some similar words found in Romans 12, 1 and 2, as we find here. Even though Paul wrote one, Peter wrote the other, they agree, because it's God's word. Look what we find here. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." A lot of stuff in there. I mean, it's like repeater style. It's like, he's hitting us, boom, 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 boom. Here's the things you need to pay attention to. The first thing, it starts with your brain, starts with your mind, starts with your heart. Get yourself in a right perspective. And he tried to do that for 12 verses. He's trying to get us in the right mindset. Because holiness starts with the proper mindset. Because if you truly believe that God wants you to be happy above all things, then your holiness is going to go to pot. You need to understand that, no, God has a standard. And he knows that we can't make that standard. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he is so good to us. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to empower us, that we might live holy lives. We have no excuse, except that we have not gotten our head straight. We have not girded up the loins of our mind. That's some King James there for you. I can't even wrap my brain around that. But it's very didactic, as we see in verse 13. Gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Be serious. Be awake. Be in control. And hope to the end. Optimistic. I get so tired of people saying, you know, just a sinner saved by grace. Well, yes, praise God if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I understand that you're not a holy Joe, but you are a sinner. I understand that. But we've been given a new name. It's called saint. And saint means holy ones. So quit being pessimistic. Oh, well, I can't really. I'm just here. I'm a sinner, but God loves me anyway. Are you setting a low goal there? Honestly, I'm going to be a sinner this week. You can do that falling off a rock. How about I'm going to live like a saint this week? I'm going to walk in holiness this week. That means I set my mind to say, you know, it's doable. Is it doable never to sin again, ever again in a Christian's life? Well, you know, that's a kind of a question like, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Yes, I am realistic. I understand we make mistakes, we sin. And while we're in this flesh, we're going to continue to stumble and fall. But it doesn't mean that's my aspiration. I'm not aspiring to be a sinner. I already am one. I'm aspiring to be a saint, a holy one. I hope and pray you're the same way, that's where you're at. So many good words they just sit there just wanting to be talked about, but I'm going to keep moving because we got other fish to fry. Wherefore, guy named Jowett puts it this way, the dynamic of duty is born in the heart of the gospel. Spiritual impulse is created by the momentum of superlative facts. I like that. And that's what he's saying here. He talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing, the coming of Christ. He gets exciting to know that we have been ransomed, but we haven't been set free to sin. We've been set free to walk in holiness and to serve God. He goes on to say in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. Fashioning yourselves. That's the same word where it says in Romans 12, where it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Same word, conformed there. But here it just happens to use the word fashioning. It means to conform. It means the adoption or imitation of the conduct of another. It has the idea. It's in the middle voice, which might even hint at what we call the permissive, which means don't allow yourselves to be squeezed in their mold, because this world is trying to squeeze you. And every day you got to gird up your mind and say, I'm going to go out there and I know it's going to tell me this, but I want to know what God thinks. And if I don't feel right in here because the Holy Spirit says, then I'm not going to judge them, but at the same time, I'm judging this for myself to be a no. Don't violate. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's given to be a guide and helper for us and to highlight when we should and when we shouldn't do things. That's part of that girding. And the world wants to say, forget the Holy Spirit. Do what we tell you. This is the only way. This is the intelligent way. This is the cool way. This is the whatever way. They're trying to get to squeeze us. I hope that we will resist that, understanding that's part of what holiness is, being driven by the Holy Spirit, not by the crowd. Verse 15 goes on, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, here's a couple of different things it says very quickly about the standard of holiness. How does holiness look? Well, as long as I'm better than Ed, I'm good. Right? Then I'm holy. No, look at the text. What does it say? But as he which hath called you. Let's see, who was that? God, the Father and the Son, calling me. So my standard is Jesus. How do I measure it to Jesus? Oh, not so good. Not so good. But that's the standard, not, well, I'm better than you list 20 people. Make you feel good, but that's not holiness. Holiness is what Jesus is. Let's live, let's be as Jesus is. It says here, be holy in all manner of conversation. What's it talking about? One life, one standard. So much so, I can remember in high school and other places, you know, you live one way at school, you live another way at home, you live another way when you're with your friends. Friday night, Monday morning, Sunday morning. They all should be the same. Holiness is the consistency, the way you live your life. In all manner, in every place, whether it's at work or at play, whether with your family or with your friends, or with your enemies, or at Walmart. I hate that one. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You see, God says to be holy. Why? Because we belong to Him. And He's really going to emphasize that. Look further on. It says, "And if you call on the Father," we have a heavenly Father, "who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Well, we can talk about that. We don't live here. We live in our citizenship's in heaven. We need to live our lives here on earth as though we're living them in heaven. In heaven, there's no sin. Oh, there's a clue there, right? How will we do it in heaven? Let's do it the heaven way, not the earthly way, right? It goes on to say here, trying to find my place here as I'm skipping through. If you call on Him as Father, then you need to respect Him as your Father and understand that we're going to have to give an answer to Him of the opportunity. What we deal with all the opportunities to live a holy life, we've been given so much. And then verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, you were not bought, your freedom was not given to you with cheap stuff, it costs." You know, we can transfer that simply here in America. Our freedom in America wasn't because we spent billions of dollars on defense. It sure helped. But there had to be human beings called veterans who said, "I'll go." And so we owe a debt of gratitude to every person who's ever served in the military because they have helped us to have this freedom. They have secured it for us. They have purchased it for us. We should enjoy it, but we should be grateful. And he says on the spiritual end, though, here it's talking about spiritually, we've got freedom. We've been redeemed. Where do we get the freedom? Was it because of some things? No. Too many people think it's a little gold cross around their neck. That's what gives them their... No. That's just a symbol. It's Jesus Christ. He paid for our freedom. And what did it cost Him? The precious blood of Christ. How precious is the blood of Jesus to you? How precious? Because the word precious and the word honor go hand in glove. They're the same word, same concept. Which means if you want to say, "I hold precious blood of Jesus," it means I will honor Him in the way I live my life. Whoa, we're getting close to holiness, aren't we? Getting close there. Or vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. You see, we have an earthly father, and he has passed down to us, according to Romans, the sin nature. And in that sin nature, we have a family tradition, and it ain't a good one. That's my best rendition, sorry. Hey, you have to get to Hank Williams Jr. yourself. But it's a bad tradition. It's a tradition of sinning. But now we have a heavenly father, and he has a family tradition. It's called holiness. It's a family trait. We're in that family, therefore we ought to live holy lives. There's a hymn by Charles Wesley. It goes this way. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" The movement there is freedom, that we might serve Him, might appreciate, may honor Him. Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Two key words there, blemish, spot. What is a blemish? The blemish is the concept that He was not to blame. There was nothing that when He went before all the people that Jesus went before, not one person had one thing on Him. They couldn't get Him. They said he's innocent. Still condemned. And then the idea without spot means he hadn't been ruined. It hadn't been stained. He had no sin on him. To be without spot means that you have not been rendered unusable. Jesus was the only man ever to live sinlessly. He was the only usable Savior because his blood was precious. Because of that, he is the only one that can save. Have you received salvation in Jesus Christ? For there is no other name under heaven among men whereby you can be saved. He is the only usable one. I pray that you know him today. Because to know him is to love him. And to love him, I think, is to honor him. Verse 20 moves on and says, time's already gone. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Amazing statement there. Foreordained there just simply is the word prognostico, which is like prognosticate. Okay? So in this, it means that before the earth was made, and who made the earth? God did. But more specifically, John 1 says, Jesus. Jesus made everything that is here, everything that was made, Jesus made it. But before he made it, he prognosticated. He already knew that what he made would go bad, even though he made it perfectly good. And he at that point said, I will go. I will go and save man after I create him perfectly. And he messes it all up. I will go and I will save them. That's a Savior. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus of the Bible. That is the one that we should adore. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God and raised him up from the dead. Two things. Jesus said it best in John 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what it's saying, verse 21. You can't get to the Father unless you go through Jesus. That's pretty limited. But it's the truth of God's word. And we find it in this text. We come to know the Father through the Son. And then it goes on to say that a big part of getting to know the Father and the Son is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's foundational to our faith. It's foundational to our salvation. It's foundational to our holiness. A lot more we could go to, but very quickly, then, okay, Pastor, if holiness is important and I'm supposed to do it and I gird up my mind and I don't understand exactly how to do that, well, Chuck Swindoll helped me out on this one. He gave me four ways we can get with the program. So you might want to write these down. I'm just repeating what I copied. But so many times he makes things practical for us. From these verses, these are the four things, I think, four ways to apply the text. One, we should pay close attention to what we look at. Our eyes are the closest connection to our mind. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know how that song goes? I ain't singing anymore. No more singing. So pay close attention to what you look at. Your eyes are the closest connection to your mind. Secondly, give greater thought to long-range consequences than to immediate pleasures. Give greater thought to long-range consequences than to immediate pleasures. He suggests that we even walk through the consequences of our actions, thinking through the effects, naming the people and the lives that will be harmed, and reminding ourselves of the high cost of a ruined reputation. All that goes on number two. Number three, start each day by renewing your sense of reverence for God. Start each day by renewing your sense of reverence for God. Renew that father-child relationship, reminding yourself of the need to fear God daily. Number four, refocus on Christ throughout the day. You know how Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? When do we look? We should do it all the time. every day. Refocus on Christ throughout the day. Consider new ways that you can focus fully on Christ. What are some new ways that will train my mind to focus on my Savior? Because He is the author and finisher of my faith. Therefore, He's the key to my holiness. Well, let's go and fill out our outline, and then we'll observe the Lord's Supper. I just want to give you these points. I won't preach them. I'll just tell you what they are. Holiness is definitely prompted or connected to our family, our father, and our freedom. About our family, it is having a mind that is optimistic, a mind that is obedient, and a mind that is obliged, realizing that we owe a debt of gratitude. We ought to be holy as He is holy. Secondly, holiness is tied to our Father. Our Father, who is our Father? Yes, He provided all that we need for life and godliness. Like what? Well, a mindfulness of our acceptance. We have our acceptance in the Father. We don't have to be squeezed by this world to believe in. We got to do something to be accepted. Secondly, mindfulness of our accountability. He is our Father. Thirdly, a mindfulness of our alienation. We are here as aliens. We are not citizens of this world. We need to get used to it. Thirdly, our holiness is connected to our freedom. Freedom, a mind that remembers the prison. What is the prison? The prison is sin. We couldn't get loose from the pain, from the problems, from the punishment of sin, but the chains have been broken. A mind that remembers the price. What price did it take? We're going to have the Lord's Supper in just a moment, reminding us, do this in remembrance of me, the Lord says. Remember, it costs me the precious blood. And then thirdly, a mind that remembers the proof. How do we know that we can have eternal life? How do we know that any of this is true? God has raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection is the proof. There's life after death. He is the first among many brethren, which means we too will live again with Him. My hope and prayer is that we have an understanding of holiness that moves us. An understanding that holiness is not just the absence of sin, but the very presence of God.